Good morning and welcome to ASI's Tuesday Morning Show, where ASI's most outspoken editors talk promo products. I'm Melinda Lagos, editor-in-chief of ASI's magazines, and I'm here this morning with our award-winning editorial staff. Leading the pack is the editor of Counselor magazine, which, by the way, just won its third consecutive Neal Award, which is considered the Pulitzer Prize of Business Publishing. Andy Cohn, welcome to the show. Congratulations.
Thank you.
What a great honor.
Yeah, very cool.
We have Supplier Global Resource editor Michelle Bell here this morning. And Michelle, your hair is still very flouncy.
Despite the fact that I got rains on and I look like a drowned rat, yes.
Yeah, you look very nice. Good morning, Michelle. Of course, Michelle's going to give us a preview this morning of an article in her fabulous magazine. And Kathy Houston, editor of Advantages magazine, is here. Kathy is hard at work this morning on her Advantages Hot Deals report. Isn't that right, Kathy?
Oh, yes. Always.
What's the hottest deal this week?
Always.
Something to do with taxes.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, we'll all be looking forward to that.
Yeah.
Of course, we have Joe Haley here, everyone's favorite managing editor. He is ready to rant as always. Joe, please tell me you're not going to rant about soccer this week. Come on, give us a break.
I'm not going to rant about soccer.
Give us a break, Joe, or we'll have our own rant.
Well, we will be waiting for
rant
that.
About soccer Joe. Last week.
We have a special call-in segment this morning. Give us a call starting right now at 215-953-4979 and tell us about any client objections you're facing right now. We bet you've got a few. If we put you on the air, we'll not only give you advice, but we'll send you a $25 Visa gift card. Start dialing us now. Again, that number is 215-953-4979. Joe, tell us what's on tap for today's show.
You got it, Melinda. On the road again, Andy Cohn will take us cross-country with an upcoming counselor feature called Ad Specialties Across America. How do you handle client objections? Well, ring us up at 215-953-4979 or send an email to radio@asicentral.com and we'll tell you how. When you were a kid, you had reasons for why you didn't turn your homework in, right?
Dogging.
Never.
Yes, as an adult, it's why you are late to work. Stay tuned to hear some of the most amusing excuses out there. Interest in eco products has not been hampered by the economy, and we'll let you know why. Kathy has a look at the top 10 dumb sales questions not to ask during a bad economy. Andy has 5 marketing tips for small business survival. Our own antisocial network gurus has the top 10 reasons your company probably
gurus.
Shouldn't.
Gurus.
Gurus. Isn't that the female guru? Wouldn't
no.
it be a gurus?
I think that
How about just
odd.
Guru?
Guru? I don't know.
I think that's just a neutral. Gender neutral.
Are we sure?
Yeah. Gurus sounds like something you stepped in.
Well, that would be you. As Hannah Montana blazes across movie screens, now's the time to hone your tween marketing skills. Kathy's got the goods to help, and Melinda says she saw the movie. Thumbs up or thumbs down?
I'm giving it a big thumbs up.
All right. I have a rant, as usual. Pardon me, I'm sure. I have a look at 6 examples of workplace rudeness. What do you do if you're unemployed? Well, participate in the Unemployment Olympics, of course. All this, but first, the industry news.
And let's
Andy.
Welcome Rich Fairfield, because he just arrived.
Hi, Richard.
Hello, Richard. Hi there. How are you?
Hello, Richard.
Glad to have you here.
Hi,
it's
Kathleen.
Like, it's like a high Newman.
All right, Andy, take it
all
away.
All right. Well, first up in the news this week, a supplier acquisition. Award supplier R.S. Owens has acquired PictureFrames.net. Talks between the two supplier firms have occurred over the past couple of months. For R.S. Owens, this marks the company's move into the picture frames market. Andy Arruda, the former owner of PictureFrames.net, will now join R.S. Owens as a divisional sales manager, and he will train the company's reps on the picture frames business. R.S. Owens says it will likely keep the PictureFrames.net name through the end of the year. Two lawmakers have introduced legislation aimed at easing the regulations in the Consumer Product Safety Improvement Act. The new bill, named the Consumer Product Safety Solutions Act of 2009, would allow manufacturers and regulators greater leeway in implementing testing procedures on children's products. Check out Promogram later today for a full report on the proposed changes to the new law. A new survey shows that small business owners are slashing their own salaries in an effort to cut company costs. And distributor owners in the ad specialty market are no different, says one in Promogram today, quote, I've already done it. You have to watch everything you spend. Check out Promogram this afternoon for our full report. And finally, of course, we're all awaiting a new episode of The Joe Show later today. Joe, what are you going to be showing?
Well, Andy, I don't have anything to report right now because I've been busy preparing for the radio show this morning. So.
And doing your taxes, I understand.
I did my taxes last night. I'm not so happy.
Uh-oh. That tax cut's not working for you.
That must be no
so
economic stimulus for you. Well, that's correct.
I'm middle class. I didn't see my
You make too much money, Joe, obviously.
I absolutely do not.
Thank you, Andy.
According to Obama, I do, but that's another story.
Right then.
I don't think so.
A few weeks ago, Andy, you called us from Austin, Texas, where you were witnessing some pig races. Maybe you can remind our listeners what that was all about.
Yeah, I was in Texas at a rodeo, the Star of Texas Fair and Rodeo, which is an annual event in Austin. And I was one of a bunch of reporters who were across the country at different events looking to see how ad specialty products were used at different events around the country. And we have that report coming out in our May issue.
So in our May issue, we're going to have reports of promo products used in all 50 states.
We have events at each of the 50 states, things ranging from rodeos and spring break.
Bar mitzvah, I understand.
In Michigan, a bowling tournament in Nebraska.
Ooh, my hometown.
Let's see, a concert in Vegas, all sorts of different events. So it really shows the versatility of how promotional products can be used.
Did you wear chaps?
I did not wear chaps, nor cowboy hat.
Did you have a big buckle?
I wore jeans.
Boots?
I did not have a big buckle, no boots.
Well, we have another one of our writers.
I'm from New York. I don't own these things.
Online. Counselor, staff writer Dave Vagnoni is on line three. Good morning, Dave.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey, Dave.
Good. Hey, Dave, tell us where you went for our special cover story.
Well, first I want to say that I passed up the chance to go to spring break just so I could go to Eastern State Penitentiary in Pennsylvania. I'm not sure what that says about me.
It's definitely better to go to jail.
And I'll vouch for him. He really preferred the prison over spring break.
I really always wanted to go to Eastern State Penitentiary. I'll tell you a little bit about it.
Okay.
It kind of looks like a castle from the outside if you're walking up to it. It sits in this really nice Philadelphia neighborhood near the Art Museum. It hasn't been used as a prison for about 30 years, and about maybe 15 years ago, they turned it into this historical site, and they've started to promote more activities over the years. They have events, exhibits, tours. They use promotional products to remind people of their experience, truly reminder items, not just souvenirs, to get more people to come back. And
so
they've expanded their selection of items, mostly revolving around Al Capone, who was the most famous prisoner ever there.
Of course, because when you can promote Al Capone.
You got to see Al Capone's cell, right?
Yes, I did see Al Capone's cell, not your typical cell. Oriental rug on the ground. There's a desk. There's artwork, paintings on the walls. And apparently Al Capone liked to listen to waltzes. So there's a music player.
He had a soft side to him.
Obviously.
And what types of promotional products could they possibly have there?
Well, anything Al Capone branded you can come up with. They have mugs, magnets, playing cards, T-shirts and sweatshirts. They now have women's sizes.
They have
tote bags, so they're kind of going eco-friendly with their tote bags. They have a replica of the inmate handbook that they actually would give to prisoners who were coming into the prison for the first time. And they're working on a replica of an original iron cast key. So a bunch of products that they have, and they're going to be doing more promotional products in the future.
And you said that the gift shop was actually mobbed with people buying products.
Yeah.
Mobbed.
They
started.
Ha, ha, ha.
People gunning for promotional
all their
products.
Tours in this gift shop, and it's kind of a dungeon-looking underground gift shop, but it's very popular. Last year, I want to say 300,000 visitors, which is a really good number. When they first started, I think they were maybe 25, 30,000 the first year. Now they're up past 300,000.
Wow. And, Rich, you still can't remember if you've been there or not.
I was there, but I didn't see Al Capone's cell. Well, I would say that they should add a haunted house there because, I mean, imagine being
there
locked
is.
There.
They do.
They
have one.
It's one of the best ones in the city.
Every Halloween. Yep.
At night.
Every
Halloween.
One of the most famous in the country, the haunted house at Eastern State.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for calling in, Dave.
You're welcome,
so
guys.
So you can check out this special story in the next issue of Counselor Magazine. We're going to pause for a message from today's sponsor, I Promote You. When we return, we'll take your calls to help you handle some of your clients' biggest objections. Call us now at 215-953-4979.
This portion of ASI Radio was sponsored by I Promote You. Distributors and salespeople, consider affiliating with I Promote You today. Be more productive, be more profitable, be happier, and retain your independence. I Promote You, the smart choice. For more information, call 800-850-3370 or email opportunities@ipromoteyou.com.
Welcome back to ASI's Tuesday Morning Show, where we are taking your calls right now to help you handle any client objections you're hearing. Give us a ring at 215-953-4979, and if we put you on the air, we'll give you a $25 Visa gift card. On line one, we have Michelle from New Jersey, who is a distributor. Good morning, Michelle.
Hi, how are you guys doing?
Good, how are you?
Pretty good, pretty good.
Michelle, do you have a big client objection you want to talk to us about this morning?
Yeah, you know, I go on sales calls, and everybody, they're really nice. They just say, I don't have any money. So, you know, so the thing is, I mean, I'm not able to sell them. You know, like I say, okay, this is why you need this. And they go, yeah, I know, but I just don't have any money. So
they act like they're interested, but they have no money.
Exactly. So what do I do?
When you go in the parking lot, do they have a car? Do you look at the cars? Well, so we just had somebody went on a call and there was a Maserati in the parking lot. So, you know, you kind of sets the tone.
So you can go in and say, hey, I noticed your Maserati out there.
No, but you might know that, you know, yeah. Sometimes I don't have any money. It just means that I don't want what you have.
Okay. You know, we had an ASI New York last month. We had an education session about this where David Blaves was talking about objections. And he said, you know, even in this economy, I mean, people have money for things they want to buy. Mm. So you have to just, I think, be more persuasive and convince them more than ever of the value. And they're still, I mean, most people are still going to buy. Do you guys have any other?
Well, I think now is the time to really be stressing and talking about with any client the usability and sort of functionality of promotional products. I mean, they end up on desks and in homes and, you know, in dresser drawers, if it's a T-shirt or whatever, for a long time. And that kind of extensive impressions that companies can get can be valuable.
I mean, if your client has canceled all their trade shows and canceled all the direct mail and canceled all their promotions, then maybe they really have no money. But if they're still doing events,
you know,
they need to give out a promotional product or they're going to have direct mail. It'll help boost the response on their direct mail.
Right.
So there's a lot of reasons. They may have cut back 10%, but that doesn't mean the other 90% they're still doing, they still need your help.
Right. And we always talk about the importance of marketing in a little bit of a shaky economy here. So that's important, and that's an important message to continue to get across to your clients.
Kathy, you had a cover story last month, Secrets of Million-Dollar Salespeople. I think one of them did have a suggestion for people who said their budgets were frozen. Wasn't it to keep calling on them anyway?
Well, yeah.
Even if they really
truly... They
even
said take clients whose budgets are frozen out to lunch, even if they're not buying right then, because they will be buying, and they'll remember that you were with them when they were down.
Right, you didn't drop them like a hot potato.
Right, yeah, you keep the relationship going.
No such thing as a free lunch.
Well, we hope we gave you some good advice. Michelle, stay on the line for your gift card.
Thanks a lot.
Sure. And on line two, we have June Madsen, a distributor. Good morning, June.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. June, what are you struggling with right now in terms of client objections?
Well, I have a client who said he's going to shift all of his money into radio advertising.
Ah.
So I need to know how I can convince him to keep using promotional products in his marketing efforts.
As long as it's ASI radio, we don't mind.
good point. No, I mean, radio ads, like I know me personally, I change it when it comes onto an ad. So explain that to him. Nobody's going to, I mean, like Andy said, the promotional product stays on your desk or on your refrigerator or in your drawer.
Right.
They're going to be seeing that on a daily basis.
Sure, the memory of a radio ad is fleeting.
Right.
Whereas a promotional product that you get to hold and touch, I mean, it's a much more tactile, visceral feeling to have a promotional product. It's also the only form of advertising where people say thank you for receiving it.
Mm-hmm.
No one thanks you for showing them an ad on TV.
Right, because it's actually like a gift.
Yep.
Well, and June, we actually have proof on our website that that promotional products are a more cost-effective advertising medium than radio or TV or print advertising. If you go on our website, asicentral.com, and look at our ad impression study, we measure the effectiveness of all these mediums, and it clearly provides a case that the case that promotional products are most effective and most cost effective. So you should check that out.
I agree with Kathy. It's like I always say, you can't channel surf a promotional product.
Right.
No one does. No one turns it off.
That's a good motto, Joe.
Thank you, Kathy.
That's the theme of the day.
You see my tattoo, it says that.
Well, good luck to you. Thanks for calling and hold on the line for your gift card.
Okay, thanks.
It's not too late to give us a call at 215-953-4979. And tell us about your client objections. Well, you've heard about the dog who ate the kids' homework, but these days you're going to have to be a little craftier if you want to call in late to work. And Michelle, you've got some suggestions, I believe.
I do. Well, CNN.com did a survey of excuses for employees who are continually late. And they found that 20% of workers said they arrive late at least once a week, and 12% said they are late at least twice a week. As we all know, I have just taken the stance where I am always late. So it's a surprise if I'm early.
So it can't be considered late.
Yeah, when you're here, we're like, Michelle,
but you've just
doing?
Started new hours. Like, crack of dawn is 10:30, right?
Yeah, it's 10:30. However, as you guys know, I'm here later, you know, than most people.
Right.
So. But some of the more, let's say, creative excuses were, my heat was shut off, so I had to stay home and keep my snake warm.
What does that mean?
Let's hope it's not a euphemism for something. I got locked in the trunk by my son.
I can see that happening.
Car trunk?
Yeah. My left turn signal was out, so I had to make all right turns to get to work.
Now that's tough to do.
I was attacked by a raccoon and had to stop by the hospital to make sure it wasn't rabid. And my favorite.
Wow.
I feel like if I'm in everyone's way if I show up on time.
That's yours.
That's mine.
That is mine.
What about that? I'm not sure what time you're supposed to get to work.
Well,
so you might as well
sure,
just show up late then.
Would have been informed of that at some point.
I'm not sure what time are we supposed to get to work here.
Oh, so you don't
it's
know.
Flexible.
So you're never late then.
Or,
we're flexible.
Or
I mean, what
time? Or loosey goosey, as Joe would
yeah,
say.
I mean, is it Joe probably knows what time is work started?
No,
ASI?
We have flexible.
Well,
hours.
The East Coast is churning by 8:30, so I think that it's reasonable to be in your office and ready to start working by 8:30 in
of
the morning.
Of course you do.
West
yes,
Coast
so
starts
I'm
earlier
never,
than we do in order to be able to do business with the East Coast.
Apparently, there's some confusion.
Interesting. Well, I actually, and I, confusion. They may be listening. We have an employee who I thought had the best excuse about, I think, a couple of years ago, who called in. She had overslept until noon because she was up reading the new Harry Potter book.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
And I thought
it was
that
me.
Was, and you know, she was totally honest about it, and I thought that was a good excuse.
Yeah.
Anyway, there you have it. Some creative excuses. We have Helen on line one. Who apparently,
hi.
Hi, Helen. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Apparently, you have an experience to share with us.
Yeah, I do. I mean, I have the same objection that the first caller had, that, you know, they have no money, et cetera. But I personally, this is interesting. I live in northern Jersey. We have septic, and my septic backed up. I ended up getting a magnet from my neighbor. And I called that number. That was a local vendor. Most of the people that I deal with are local vendors. So I take that magnet with me and I say, you know, this is the experience that I had, and people actually do use these magnets when they need something or have a problem.
That's great.
Yeah, that's a great
story.
Great
yeah.
real-life example. Right. And I definitely use all the magnets on my fridge.
I do, too.
I have a lot of them on my fridge, yes.
That's cool. Well, thank you so much for calling, Helen, and stay on the line for your gift card.
You know, I think that's an important message, actually, that distributors probably don't use enough of is their own little case studies. You
absolutely.
Know, just show clients exactly how you've helped other clients with similar issues.
And to Helen's point, right, that was an emergency,
right.
And
right.
this was the answer.
Absolutely.
So it's even, you know, a more powerful thing.
Yeah, she's not getting rid of
and
that magnet.
She wasn't going to remember that radio ad from, you know, 3 months ago.
Yeah.
But the magnet from 3 months ago, she did remember.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool. All right, well, green products are certainly all the hype these days, but are people willing to pay their higher ticket prices? What do you guys think? Yes or no? Are people
yes.
willing to pay more for green products?
No. Yes.
I said
okay.
no as well.
Well, we're mixed, but Joe Haley has the answer.
I have the answer. Well, actually, this is a survey released from Cone Consumer Environmental Surveys, and they say 34% of American consumers indicate they are more likely to buy environmentally responsible products today. 44% indicate their environmental shopping habits have not changed as a result of the economy. And fewer than 1 in 10 say they are less likely to buy. Okay? I got some more stats for you. 35% of Americans have higher interest in environment today than they did 1 year ago. 35% of Americans have higher expectations for companies to make and sell environmentally responsible products. And 70% of Americans indicate they are paying attention to what companies are doing in regards to the environment. So what does this all mean?
You tell me.
I'll tell you.
Answer
this
the
is
question,
evidence
Joe.
That it is more than just a passing trend. So I think that you can take this information and say that eco-friendly products are here to stay. And I know we've done some point counterpoints on the radio in the past couple months. And
well, also, I think distributors who are worried about, you know, or who are not selling them because they think that people object to the price, this is good ammunition.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. This is,
not
again,
be shy about it.
This is the Cone, C-O-N-E, Consumer Environmental Survey of 2009. And we'll have this posted on the website later on today.
That's great.
But
well,
there's
that
a lot
is
of good,
good news for
yeah, ammunition
products.
In there.
Cool.
Good ammo, Joe.
We have
thanks.
Another caller online, too, Nicole. Good morning, Nicole.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm okay. I have a question. I'm a pharmaceutical rep for a company, and I'm getting a lot of objections from the healthcare providers that the traditional and standard promotional products are just not cutting it anymore. I know they're not supposed to choose a product, choose a medication based on the promotional products, but is there anything that you suggest that could be more beneficial for the providers?
Actually, Counselor Magazine just came out with a feature this month, correct, Andy?
Yeah.
On the types of products you can that are really effective still with pharmaceutical
yeah,
companies.
The key is to look at things that can be educational. You know, so they're still giving away kits and any sort of informational
right.
kits that patients could use. So anything that can go into a kit can be used. But the key is also that suppliers are now coming up with some pretty creative items that pharmaceutical companies can use in their educational efforts. Just different types of calendars or foldable type pads that can contain a lot of educational information.
Again, even pens, if they're used in this kind of kit.
Right. Correct? Pens and journals can still be given out and sold to pharmaceutical companies, but they have to be part of some sort of educational effort.
Also, blank products. I mean, yep. Companies, because that circumvents the right. Logo restrictions.
Okay.
And check out this issue of Counselor Magazine for some more ideas, Nicole, and go ahead and hang on the line. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Yes. You can also check it out on ASI Central on counselormag.com.
Yep, it's yep. there.
And
it's
it really
there
sounds, now. Sounds like a true partnership between the distributor and their client, as well as the distributor and their supplier. More
absolutely.
So than ever.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
Find out what they're doing.
All right, guys. Well, all salespeople who are listening right now should pay careful attention to this next segment. Some of the questions you're used to asking customers on a sales call are now no-nos in this economy, because you don't want to look stupid, do you, Kathy?
No, but these all sounded like good questions to me, but apparently not.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, when I was reading this.
That's why you're not selling.
Don't ask how's business.
Because
it's a lazy question, especially given the economy.
It's almost never a good question, and then it's also a bad question when you know the answer is bad.
Right.
Right. You want to have a positive.
You want to start it. You want to keep it all positive.
Yeah. What you really want to know is, in what areas has the economy impacted your business the most? And then you could help provide solutions for that. Okay.
That's another question.
Secondly, what are your goals for this year? Because it says whatever their goals were, they probably aren't their goals anymore.
Right.
So companies are adjusting projections and forecasts based on the economy, and you go to their website, this says, and do your research. What are they projecting for the year, and what kind of programs are they implementing? What kind of new products are they trying to launch? Things like that.
Mm-hmm.
How has your company been successful in the past? It says, unless their past includes the Great Depression, this is an irrelevant question, because the economy is like worse than pretty much it's ever been since the Great Depression, and few companies have faced the economic challenges that today's firms are facing. So your customer is a busy executive who doesn't have time to live in the past and doesn't want you to either. You're supposed to provide them solutions for the future. Mm-hmm. Another thing which I thought was a good question is, what is your budget? A horrible question you should never ask, it says.
Rich, what do you think about that?
I sometimes do ask it, mm-hmm. but I add never a first question.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, when we're trying to come up with a plan, mm-hmm. I might ask them their budget, and normally people are cagey about it, but sometimes they'll tell you what it is. But I would never have that as a first
right off
question.
The bat, that would
like,
be...
that seems like off-putting, because the person didn't even tell you that they want to buy anything from you, and now you're saying, how much do you have to spend, and they didn't say that they want anything from you.
Right. Right. Yeah, I could see that. What's one last question you should never ask?
One last question is, who should I follow up with? It says, you're kidding, right? Why give up control? You should recommend the next step in the process, even if the client rejects it.
Well, and I would also hope that you're dealing with the decision maker. So wouldn't you follow up with them?
That's
I mean, you're giving them a chance to get off the hook. And
it's like an out.
Right. And delegate it.
Yeah. But you shouldn't say, who should I follow up with? You should say, how about we meet, you know, next Thursday at this time or whatever. Let them reject it and offer you another option.
Yeah, and also, I mean, presumably if you're a consultative seller, then you will have learned stuff in the meeting that you will then have to follow up. You can't have a necessarily canned answer.
Right.
Because mm-hmm. You didn't know what they were going to say. So after they said what they said, now you would probably say, I want to follow up and send you some presentation and call you next week or something like that about what I'm going to present for your needs.
Mm-hmm. Well, those are good tips. I think the how's business is the
dumbest
that's
the worst.
Stay away from that.
Right.
How's biz?
All right. Well, we've all talked about the importance of marketing in a rougher economy, and Andy's got more on this morning.
Yeah, we just found a report that came out from a marketing firm called Sky Communications, and they suggest a few tips that small businesses can do to effectively market themselves right now. A couple are sort of online based, but the first is to revamp your web presence. You know, take a look at your website and see how you're trying to communicate your marketing messages in more clear ways. And along those lines, send out e-newsletters. If you haven't already, you know, start an e-newsletter, use it as a service tool to your customers. Be sure that you're kind of giving them advice as opposed to just promoting yourself, but continuously touching customers with e-newsletters is a good sort of cheap method that companies can do right now. And a couple more things, take advantage of PR, you know, use your local media in ways that you think that can be covered, show them case studies, give them any surveys or anything. They're always looking for types of statistics that they can use. So try to get yourself promoted in local media. And lastly, improve your customer service as best you can. Right now is the most important time to hang on to your current clients, and the best way to do that is to improve your customer service and market yourself as the best service provider out there.
All right. Well, good advice from Andy Cohen. Thanks, Andy. Speaking of marketing, a lot of companies are using Twitter to get their message out these days, but there's sometimes when tweeting is just apparently not a good idea. Is that right, Michelle?
Yeah, apparently so. Well, there's my ringing endorsement for
Michelle's not a tweeter. However, I think that you would agree that it's often a good idea.
Well, mainstream media has gone gaga about Twitter, so they say. Twitter has grown more than 1,200% in the past year, doubling its members over the past few months and attaining 14 million members in March alone, which is amazing. So should your business be tweeting? I don't think it's for everyone, though, and here are some points to consider. If you think using Twitter is a social media strategy, they say here, according to the study, it's a tactic and a tool, not a strategy. It works if you already have an online presence and people who follow you and who will view your tweets as a way to interact with your company on a human level.
Now, Rich is shaking his head. I agree with that.
We got over 500 followers on Twitter and all within a month.
Yay. Wow.
So I agree. But we do have a website and we do have newsletters and we have ways that we do have stuff for them to go see.
Videos. Sure.
Like
all
a
kinds
radio
of stuff.
Show.
Right, hey. Exactly.
True.
What else, Michelle?
You should not use it. It's an agile, quick-moving media, so you shouldn't use it if everything that you do has to be approved by a legal department.
Oh.
You have to do it so quickly, and you cannot wait a day for approval to come in.
Absolutely. That makes sense.
If you think ghost tweeter for the president of your company is okay, basically people want to connect with one person. They don't want to connect with an entity. So, you know, we can't have someone, you know, tweeting as a company. It would be better if there was a point person, somebody maybe with, you know, a personality, with something to say that they wanted to follow.
Like Michelle Bell's Bell blog.
Uh-huh.
Wow, you're really enthusiastic about that. Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Well, our tweet voice is Vincent.
Vindog, right. Vindog. And he's a personality.
He is.
Vindog.
And then I would say that you think that all that matters on Twitter is getting a lot of people to follow you. That is not true. Quality trumps quantity.
Ah, I would agree with that. All right. Well, there you have it. Michelle's tweets for the day.
She's going to be tweeting just on this little thing. You could do that.
I can't wait till Michelle does tweet.
Well, it'll happen.
It'll come. Yeah, it's coming. I still say it's coming.
All right, Joe,
it's
you
coming.
Promised you're not going to rant about soccer, so yes. What do you got?
Taxes.
Well, yesterday, yesterday, the Philadelphia area lost an icon when the Phillies broadcaster Harry Callis passed away. He's also nationally known as well, which leads me to my rant that Steve and I were speaking about this morning, and that is that you have these self-important, blathering, talking heads on sports broadcasts nowadays, and they do nothing but fill dead air, and dead air is important. And they just go on and on. They tell you about everything except for what's happening on the field because they're not so interested in that. They're interested in their own self and knowledge.
What kind of blather are you talking about?
Oh, my God. Well, first of all, watch the Phillies if you're locally. God. And you listen to this Chris Wheeler. He'll tell you everything. The Andy Coe's pitching. It's his first game pitching. He's got a little allergy today, so they want to puff, plus
Andy
in the dugout. Strike
allergies.
One. And then he'd go on about his hat. He's wearing this hat. He's had this hat since he was a junior in college and blah, 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 blah. Oh, there's a ball. And it's like, can you follow
the
game?
There was a home run. Sorry.
It's called
back
color
to my
commentary, Joe.
But there's no color to it. That's the problem. There's Harry.
Oh, Harry.
This ball is out of here.
Wow. All right.
So I just I find it very frustrating. And now we've got playoffs coming up in two sports, hockey and basketball. You have to watch them on national broadcast, and they're the worst. Just shut up and tell us what's happening.
Wow.
There
Rich,
you have
Rich
it.
Calls them the gas bags. We talked about
That's
this
right.
the other day.
They are.
Because you listen to so many sports.
I do in the gym. I listen to sports in the gym.
Okay. So
and the people
agree.
Say pretty much like the same five things.
So what are they?
Well, they're like, well, it's going to be hard, but I'm going to do my best. Or, whatever it is, whenever they interview a player.
Oh, the athletes you're talking
athletes.
About, right.
I'm just here to help the team.
That's the world of cliche.
Andy and I spoke about this.
It's the same stuff. It doesn't matter what sport it is.
We're going to take it one at a time.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to Disney World.
Andy and I spoke about this, and when the national broadcast teams come in, they actually look for storylines to, put in place throughout the broadcast of the game. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they get those storylines wrong or they have nothing to do with actually, happening there, but they can't go off their script. And I'm making air quotes.
All right. Well, speaking of sports, here's a unique event that you won't see in a stronger economy, the Unemployment Olympics. Andy, what's that all about?
Yeah, some people in New York who obviously are a little
New York
bit,
City?
New York City. Mm-hmm. The village, lower east side of New York. They last week held something called the Unemployment Olympics, and they had a bunch of people come and take out their frustration on the economy and the fact that they lost their job. So they were doing events such as a cell phone toss. I don't exactly know why they were throwing cell phones, but they were. And the event that seemed to get the most attention from the people at the Olympics was pin the blame on the boss. which you had the chance of taking a bat to a piñata and hitting it as if it was your former boss.
Hmm. And how many people showed up for this event?
There were about 40 unemployed people who took part in the Olympics, and many more, I guess, who actually watched. I'm not sure why you would watch this sort of thing, but the piñatas had all sorts of logos and things.
I'm
on
sure
them,
there so, had to be T-shirts and stuff.
One would think you'd be able
to. There you have it.
Definitely.
That's a new idea for distributors.
Well,
start an unemployment.
It was a networking
Olympics
event, I guess, of sorts.
In your area.
Yeah, thanks, Andy. With other unemployed people.
Well, we are out of time today. Thanks to today's sponsor, I Promote You, and thanks to our loyal listeners. Tune in next week when we'll hear about some special apparel decorating techniques that will put more money in your pocket. Who can argue with that? Not me.
Nor me.
Have a great day.